بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا ينظر الرجل إلى عورة الرجل، ولا المرأة إلى عورة المرأة، ولا يفضي الرجل إلى الرجل في ثوب واحد، ولا تفضي المرأة إلى المرأة في الثوب الواحد. هذا أبو سعيد رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said: A man should not look at another man's private areas, nor a woman at another woman's private areas. A man should not lie next to another man while sharing the same sheet, nor should a woman lie next to another woman while sharing the same sheet. This hadith explains a few things. One is that the private area of a man is from including his navel till below his knee. So one person should not look at another person like this. Any area, any part between his navel, including the navel, to below his knees. And the same for a Muslim woman, she should not look at these areas of another Muslim woman. When it comes to a Muslim woman and a non-Muslim woman, in other words, a person like a maid or any other non-Muslim that is there, now it is the whole body except for the hands and feet. Now the hands, the face and the feet, now those areas can be exposed. This is sometimes something that our women take very lightly. They think that is another woman, but a non-Muslim woman, this is the type of concealment that they should be. The face now can be exposed, the hands up till the wrist can be exposed, and the feet can be exposed. If it is another Muslim woman, then it's like similar to the man, that from the navel area to below the knees. However, if there is fear of any type of fitna, then even exposing one's complete chest and other areas to another man, even then also would be disliked if there is a fear of fitna. Therefore it is disliked that one person even embraces, one man embraces another man without a top covering because of the fear of fitna. So this deen of ours is so complete that it shows so many different aspects, so many things. Now let us ask ourselves that how often a person is caught up in sports and what have you, and deliberately a person is looking at another man's satr. In other words, that area from his navel till his knee, below his knee, that area is exposed, or some part of it is exposed, and a person is spending hours in front of that soccer match or that other match where some type of satr is exposed. This hadith is so clear that وَلَا يَنْظُرُ الرَّجُلُ إِلَىٰ عُورَةِ الرَّجُلُ. One man should not look at the private areas of another man. Now sometimes we think that is not a guna. This is a serious thing. One is the guna of exposing it, and one is the guna of looking at another man's private areas. Another thing to learn from here is that when the children are growing up, don't think that no, they're still young, they're still small, it's okay for them to wear short pants. From young it should be inculcated in them that haya. So when they are of that age, then automatically they will feel shy also to expose anything, any part of that knee also is showing, immediately they want to cover it, they won't feel comfortable. But if a person keeps saying that they are young, they are still young, they are still small, before you know it, that person will be baligh, that youngster, and now he won't be concerned about those private areas. As far as our deen is concerned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, وَمَن يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعَفِّهِ اللَّهُ. That person who seeks to be pure, Allah Pak will make him pure, Allah Pak will keep him pure, while he went out of his way to seek to be pure. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned one incident in Ihya al-Ulum. A tabi' by the name of Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahmatullahi alayh, he was residing in Medina Sharif, and he wasn't an ordinary person, he was a great alim. He was one of the faqis of Medina Sharif. So once he and one sati of his was proceeding for Hajj to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So one lesson we learn from here is whenever a person is traveling, that he should take one sati with him, he should take one friend with him and go. He shouldn't travel alone. Because when a person travels alone, then shaitan now preys on such a person. So even if it means him going for a business trip, then also make it a point of taking somebody, some reliable person, some sati that will keep him on guard. So he didn't go alone, he was taking one sati with him, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahmatullahi alayhi. And remember something, that the sati may cost you. Sometimes it may cost you money. Person is going on a business trip, he'll have to buy one extra ticket just to take some companion with him, one friend with him, to, so that he can be on guard. But that money you're spending is not wasted. The money you're spending is actually protecting your iman. The person's iman can be affected. One person was telling me that at the time of 94 election time, so a few people went to Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salehi Sahab, to ask for Mashura, that we want to go to now European countries, we want to emigrate from here, some wanted to go to the West, some wanted to go to Europe, etc. So what Mashura do you give? So he said, Yaha rehna jaan ka khatra hai, waha rehna iman ka khatra hai. He said, if you go and stay there, then there is a khatra, there is a fear that your iman will go. If you stay here, there is only a fear that your life will go, your iman won't go. So sometimes a person should consider that he's traveling, it may cost him to take the sati, but he's paying the ticket money, but he's saving his iman. What a great thing he's saving. So anyway, he was going, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahmatullahi alayhi, and they stopped at a place called Abwa. When they stopped at this place called Abwa, so he told his sati said that I will go and buy some food and I'll come and you wait here. So he went to the town. They camped at a spot where there was a mountain there, and at the peak of the mountain there were some people that would stay there. You know, there was a house that was there, villages that were staying. So Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahmatullah alayhi, he stayed back and his sati went. Now at the peak of that mountain there was a woman staying in that house, and she was an extremely beautiful woman, and she had seen now from the way she was, she could see Sulaiman ibn Yasar, and he was not just an alim also, he was a great alim, plus Allah Pak had gifted him, he was very very handsome also, very handsome. So when she had seen that this person is alone, now she got taken back, she got captivated by his beauty, she got charmed by his beauty. Therefore we did that hadith yesterday, that a woman also shouldn't look at a man. We think that it is innocent for a woman to look at a man. Allah Pak also created desires in their hearts also. They also have feelings, they also have desires. So this woman got enthralled by his beauty, captivated by his beauty. So she was so captivated by his beauty that she came down now to entice him. Now he is alone there on journey. His sati is gone out to try and find some food. So when she came down, what she had done was she picked up her, she saw nobody was there, she picked up her parda and exposed her face to him. And it comes there in the kitab, كَأَنَّهَا قِطْعَةُ قَمَرٍ, as though she was a piece of the full moon. So beautiful was this woman. So he got afraid, he got frightened. So when she started speaking, he thought maybe she came to ask for something. You know, like how sometimes a beggar comes to ask for something. She thought maybe this woman came down to ask. So he went to quickly look where his stuff is to see where they can find some food to give this woman. So she tells him, no, I didn't come for food. I came to ask you for what a woman would ask a man for. That's what I came by you for. So he got a shock. He said, did Shaitan send you here by me? And he started crying loudly, crying loudly. When she seen this, now she got worried that she mustn't get disgraced there. Quickly she ran away and she went to be back to her place. Now she was crying so profusely that when his sati had come back, he had asked him that what happened. He could see that from the signs on his face, his eyes were red, his face was puffed up, etc. What had happened? So he didn't want to tell his sati also what had happened. He said, no, I was thinking of my children, I was thinking of the family at home, I was missing them, so I was crying. So now his sati said, no man, a man doesn't cry like this so much, just thinking of his children and his wife, tell me what happened. So then he explained to his sati that this is what had happened. So then his sati also started crying. So now he's asking his sati, why are you crying? He's saying, I am crying out of shukr that I wasn't here and you didn't go to the bazaar, because if I was here, most likely I would have fallen into fitna. I would have got caught. So I'm crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Pak had saved me. Now look at these pious people. If it was one of us, we would say, how nice if we were here. But look at them, they were crying that Allah Pak had saved me. So anyway, they proceeded, they continued for the Hajj. They went to Waqt al-Mukarramah, they made the Tawaf. After Tawaf, they were sitting between Hajri Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, just sitting and resting for a while. They were tired, very tired, had a cloth over them. So the Sulaiman ibn Yasar, each person obviously had their own cloth. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahmatullah alayh, as he was sitting like that, he fell off to sleep. When he fell off to sleep, then he seen a very handsome person in his dream. Very, very handsome person. So he asked this person, who are you? So this person said, my name is Yusuf. So he said, Yusuf Siddiq, referring to Yusuf alayhi salam. So he said, yes, I am Yusuf alayhi salam. So then he said that your incident, now Sulaiman ibn Yasar in his dream is talking to Yusuf alayhi salam, and he's telling him, your incident with Zulaikha, when Zulaikha tried to seduce you, your incident is a very, very beautiful, strange incident. What an incident that was. So in the dream, Yusuf alayhi salam replies to him that incident you had at Abwa is even more beautiful and even more stranger than my insight. Imagine in front of Baytullah in the condition of Hajj. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is just mentioning so that we can get some himmat. That when a person keeps himself pure, keeps himself safe, don't think this is a small thing. This is something that is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the basharat that this person got in front of Kaaba Sharif also in the condition of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we also go out of our way and we strive, keep our eyes pure, keep our ears pure, keep our tongue pure, keep our hearts and minds pure, keep all these things pure. Then when it's so pure like this, automatically when a person is influenced by dirt and haram and something that's impure, he'll want to run away from there. Not only he won't want to look, he'll want to just disappear from there. He won't want to even be where that haram and that guna is taking place. As we know, today is Jummah. We should try and come early for the Jummah Salah. Try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite Surah Kahf and come early before Maghrib Salah so that we can engage ourselves in some dua. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.